behind us and within us, permeating our being completely. That this one consciousness is the infinite Spirit of God, everywhere, ever functioning, always being itself, and ever unopposed, for it is the only consciousness and the only being. Now watch how beautifully it is transformed into the needs of the world. Feel how it becomes, through its own inner power, that which we call air, earth, fire. Watch how this earth draws unto itself the minerals. Watch how the fire touches the minerals. Watch how through the earth springs a seed opened by an invisible hand. Watch how forests grow, how lakes appear, how oceans and mountains are suddenly there. What did it? The invisible one consciousness, doing something that the human eye cannot see, becomes transformed into fertility. Doing something that the human eye cannot see, it places a sun in the sky. Doing something that the human eye cannot see, it places 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. Even before there is the physical birth of a colt, before there is the physical birth of a sheep, before there is the physical birth of any animal, the invisible is producing that which will appear to human sense as man, as matter, as life, as productivity, as animal, vegetable, mineral, as planet, as sky, as ocean, as star and as sun. Who put it there? The invisible law of supply. Who maintains it there? The invisible law of supply. This is the productivity of the divine consciousness, and man still does not understand it, for it appears to man as material things. Now this productivity surrounds us as it ever has, ever coming through from the invisible to the visible in such a way that all nature is provided. The invisible hand turns the tides. The invisible hand moves the planets around the sun. The invisible hand turns the earth at night back into day. We are surrounded by infinity. We are moving and living within infinity. And when lack appears, it is because of several factors. Our inability to make contact with this infinite consciousness that pulses throughout its own universe. As we sit here, there is no power on this earth that can stop the productivity of this invisible power from continuing unto eternity. Now, when you hear the words of the one infinite consciousness, and you are not aware that it is you, you have that non-recognition of self, which constitutes our ignorance of divine law and our ignorance of the one life that permeates this universe. When we are not cognizant that we are that one life, this constitutes that sense of separation which prevents the miracle of supply. The divine consciousness is productive without ceasing. But unless your individual consciousness is mated with the divine, you cannot continue that productivity from the divine into your individual life, and there is an interruption of the continuity, which is the basis of real supply. When you are wedded to the divine consciousness, then its productivity, which is functioning its invisible universe, is continued through your individual consciousness and appears, transforming itself through its own intelligence and its own power into the needed forms for your life. The secret of supply, then, is oneness with the divine consciousness, or what is called by Joel conscious union with God. And this conscious union is not with a personal God, but with the infinite divine consciousness which pulses through each of us as I, the Spirit of God, am the substance of your being. And if you pronounce that you are lacking, then you are pronouncing that I, the substance of God, am not the substance of your being. Now you may remember that when Jesus returned after the crucifixion, Thomas was not present when the Master appeared to the other disciples. And so he later returned to Thomas alone, showed his wounds, and Thomas, having felt of the wounds, could now say, "Yes, I see it, and now I believe it." But the Master said, "Blessed are those who, seeing not, do believe it anyway." This invisible universe, this invisible consciousness, this invisible intelligence, which your human senses cannot see, make of you a Thomas in a human consciousness who says, "I cannot see it or touch it, and therefore it is not supplied." But blessed are those, or Christed, illumined are those, who seeing not can still see that there is no place where the infinite consciousness can go. It is not only surrounding you, it is the substance of all that you are. If you go back to the second book of Genesis, you find the first clue, the tree of life. This tree of life is the infinite consciousness of the Father, the one undivided consciousness, the source of all things. Nothing that does not come, nothing that comes from another source than the tree of life is real. And so your investments, your properties, your income, your employer-employee relationships, the husband's weekly or monthly paycheck, whatever the source of assets may be, these are not that which comes from the tree of life. And only as we count on them and possess them and presume that we now have supply because we can write a check and the bank will cash it up to certain amounts, or we can go out and buy things, or we have the food, the clothing, the shelter, the automobile, and the house. These we discover many millionaires in wheelchairs also have. We discover that supply is not dollars at all. We discover the superficial nature of physical supply. No supply was needed to give Da Vinci the talent he had, but rather his talent was his supply. No supply was needed to give Einstein the scientific mind he had. No supply of physical things can give you safety, protection, health, companionship, integrity, beauty, truth, harmony, happiness. Supply, you see, is life itself. Unless you have life, you do not have supply. You have the mirage of supply. And if you do not have life, then that supply which you do have is being spent and will dwindle, because it will not be sustained, maintained, and protected by the invisible law of supply. Divine consciousness is spiritual. Its substance is spirit. Its law is spirit. And if you want supply that is real, you must have spiritual supply. You must count your spiritual resources as your first supply, your invisible supply. And when this reality is your established consciousness, then the added things, which means the outer appearances, will show forth as every need fulfilled in its divine sequence. Just as every need of the tree is fulfilled in its divine sequence. And so we come to that other tree, the tree that man follows, the tree of Adam and Eve, the tree of good and evil. And we see here in this earliest allegory the sum and substance of man's following the mirage of supply instead of claiming and accepting the reality of supply. The tree of life is divine consciousness, the one life. Your one life. Your infinite spiritual self, God individualized as you. And the tree of good and evil is our stepping out from the truth of our own being and seeking another source, accepting another cause, accepting the forms of supply, instead of becoming conscious of the fabric of supply. As we walked out into mortality, the divided consciousness of good and evil, the man of earth who struggles to eke out a living so that before he dies he may spend it on something he wants, we, through our own ingenuity, try to fulfill our needs. We know the things we need, the things we want, and we use our sense of supply to provide them. But all of our thinking, if you will stop and give it a moment's thought, is really motivated by a fear that there is a possible limit, a fear that we will not have enough, a fear that we will not have the very needs we must have to sustain ourselves. And so our sense of supply is born of the limited, finite concept of the human self, living in a limited lifespan. And around this we build what we call our needs. But we do not really know our true needs, our real needs. Because if we did, we would know that we have only one need. And that need is to let the tree of life live itself in its infinite forms and variety as our own being. There is an interesting passage in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and explained to us in this chapter on supply by Joel, about the 7,000 that have been held out who have not bowed their knees to Baal. And the father says this to Elijah, I have reserved 7,000 who have not bowed their knees to Baal. And through spiritual discernment, Joel tells us that the 7,000 represents the infinite variety of divine attributes that are present in your spiritual consciousness. That there are 7,000 different qualities of God in your consciousness of spirit. And that 7,000 is a round number to indicate infinity, limitless. So that, whereas the human, the finite mortal mind sees supply as dollars and assets, tangible things that we can see and touch and spend, your real supply is the infinite storehouse of God that is accessible through your consciousness of your own divine substance. Then you touch an infinite law called grace, which says that my grace is thy sufficiency. In all things, my divine attributes pour through you, transforming themselves in a way you know not of. And then because your Father knoweth ye have need of these things, there is not only the dollar, there is not only the security, there is not only the right investment, but there is an individual able to walk on his own two feet. Not an unhealthy one, not one whose home life is bursting at the seams, not one who is walking in fear and doubt and uncertainty about tomorrow, not one who is unprotected or unsafe, but my supply from within you is a total supply, a supply which meets not only the needs of this moment, but of a million tomorrows. A supply which sees you as a whole individual, knoweth all your needs, from morning to night, from January through to the next January, in every possible way anticipates your needs and provides for them. And then we learn that this provision for our needs has already been made, that God's work is completely finished, and that the supply that we have sought, we already have. Nothing is lacking in your supply. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given. When you recognize the invisible nature of supply as the divine consciousness in you, then you know that you have. All that the Father has is thine. All that divine consciousness has is thine. All that infinite consciousness has is thine. But him who hath not, He who is separated from divine consciousness. He who says, I am an individual apart from divine consciousness. I know nothing about divine consciousness. I depend on my own knuckles. I depend on my own brain. I depend on my muscles. I depend upon my ingenuity. He is the one who unknowingly is separated from the vastness of infinity and is limiting himself to a finite sense of life. And he is the one who discovers the mirage of the tangible aspects of this world. Each of us probably could name 100 cases, and I can think of two or three quickly, the wheelchair, which is the home of a millionaire, the hospital, which is the habitation of so many who have endless bank accounts, money they can never spend, lying in banks useless. Those who are limited to that three-dimensional knowledge of the world. And you can think of so many people in the limelight. Only recently, this Linkletter's daughter, for example. Surely supply wasn't one of her problems, was it? And yet, without supply or with supply, there was something else that was needed. It was an awareness of self. And without it, the individual is lost. This is an extreme case, but we see all around us those who wander through life aimlessly because their supply is in that which they can take into themselves as a physical form. It may be a shot in the arm, or a pellet in the mouth, or they may gorge themselves with food. They are addicted in some way to a fourth appetite. Or there are those who simply want the normal conveniences. But you see, supply, the productivity of the Father within, must flow. And when you are not able to let it flow, then it becomes for you a stagnant stream. And we shrivel up. We lose our sense of sight and hearing. We lose the energy. We lose the continuity of existence. Always because we are not one with our source. We have not found our identity. We are still in the belief that we walk the earth as human beings. Now, this divine consciousness is the only life there is. There is no other. And if it is not your life, then the life you are living is the imitation of life. And in that imitation, you will have the imitation of supply. You will have the imitation of a heart, the imitation of a brain, the imitation of a lifespan, the imitation of happiness, the imitation of health. Everything you have will be an imitation. And you will never recognize it as an imitation. You will wonder where that better life is. And so let us come off of this false pedestal of supply. Let us see that there have been many who had it in dollars, who have not survived beyond their 60th birthday, and have lived those years before that in and out of divorce courts, spending all of their money on alimony and lawyers, on doctor bills, on trips to forget it all, on cures, on ways and means to find the happiness which was so elusive because they had built their life on a false god. Now, there are many wonderful things that dollars will buy. There are also many wonderful things it won't buy. And what dollars will not buy is spiritual consciousness. And that is the infinite bank from which every bill is paid. Your spiritual consciousness is your only real supply. And when you are told that you must find the kingdom of God within you, you must know that this means finding your identity, finding the I of your being, accepting that I am the one life that is divine. Now, when you accept it, you begin to feel there is no necessity to take thought about your supply of anything. You begin to realize that as a human being, you had felt that you relied only on your brain to tell you what you needed. But when you become aware that you are the one divine life, that there is no other life than the one divine, now you realize this one divine life is self-fulfilling, self-expressing, self-maintaining. It is being its own infinite self at all times. You become aware of its presence within you as the very substance of your being. You ask yourself, what thought did a fruit tree take to put fruit on the outside of its limbs? And certainly if a fruit tree can do that with no thought, why can't this same power function through me? Why can't this 7,000 attributes of the Father move through me if I am that divine substance? And the Father's voice thunders back in the silence, I'm doing it right now. All that I have is thine. Infinity is flowing through you, but you have turned away from it. You have walked out of the Garden of Eden. When you walked out of divine consciousness, you walked out of the Garden of Eden. Divine consciousness is that garden. And the tree of life in that garden is the full, total operation of the Word of God in you. When you have His Word in you, you have the 7,000 who did not bow down to Baal. When you have His Word in you, you have a great secret of how divine consciousness through your awareness of it, transforms itself into your every infinite eternal need. If you continue in my word, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But you must continue in my word. You must live in the awareness of divine consciousness as the only source for whatever is necessary in your life. There cannot be two sources. There cannot be an active brain running out to figure out plans. Your source must be manufactured from within yourself. This is sowing to the spirit of your own being, to the kingdom of God within you. Now, like a leaf, you can lie back on the ocean. You can lie back and say the divine consciousness is the invisible ocean. The human is but the leaf. It's up to the ocean. The leaf can do nothing. But divine consciousness permeates your being. It is all around you, invisible. if you're not Thomas and have to touch it, you will realize that there is no place on this universe where divine consciousness is not at full strength. And because it is your being, suddenly it becomes known to you that you can rest back in divine consciousness which knoweth your needs. You step from the finite, from the limited sense of life, from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, back into the tree of life. And let the invisible consciousness of the infinite be your consciousness. It is not limited. It has no lack. It can never make a mistake. It can never fail. Your Father, divine consciousness, knoweth that ye have need of these things. You see, we find the confidence to just know that the word of the Father must express, must come forth as leaves and flowers, must come forth as fruit on the divine tree of my consciousness, if I will not turn away with a human brain that goes out to ferret out things for itself. What is it I need? Clients? Income? Investments? Your Father knoweth ye have need of these things. But your Father knoweth needs you have that you never dreamed of. Needs that you cannot foresee. And so that which appears in divine sequence from divine mind, when you think not, meets a need tailor-made, whereas your idea of meeting needs would always be in a lesser capacity than divine mind could foresee. Oh, you could think of so many ways in which the infinite mind foresees needs that you're not aware of. And irons out these needs long before they're ever presented to you as a need. From the foundations of the world, all your needs have been considered, preordained, pre-fulfilled. And actually, when you know your identity, you can say, never again do I have a real need. For having the Spirit of God as my consciousness, without trying to make it so, just knowing it has ever been so, I know that all needs are provided by this infinite invisible intelligence, which has the power to fulfill its own awareness out of its own substance, which is my substance, and there is no separation. For I and the Father are one substance. I and divine consciousness are one substance. And this substance is complete, embodying all of the Father as all of the Son. So I have. No longer can I say I have not. For when I say I lack, I deny divine substance as my substance, divine mind as the only mind, divine being as the only being, and I declare that I am separated from all this, that I am outside of divine law. I am outside of spiritual law. And so every claim of a lack is a claim that I am not the child of God. We must know this, and when lack occurs, we must accept it as a welcome signal. It is saying you are breaking divine law. Don't be alarmed. This will happen many times to many of us. But know the purpose of a lack. It is showing where your awareness of spirit is threadbare. It is showing where you must patch up a seam. It is showing where you must recognize that you are vulnerable. And always the signal is saying you are in a divided consciousness. Get back into realizing there is only one divine life. And you are that one divine life. And now trust it. Rest back and trust your divine life to live itself adequately, fulfilling itself to the uppermost level of your mission on earth. And before the brain begins to say, what about me? What am I here for? Tell it what it's here for. The tree brings forth fruit without thought. And your brain says, well, I don't want to be a tree. I don't want to bring forth apricots. I have bigger ideas. Yes, and so did the Father. That's why you were given the capacity to receive bigger ideas, so that you can bring forth more than just an apricot. But your receptivity to divine idea is the only way in which you can bring forth the greater ideas of divinity than just a fruit on a tree. The fruit on the tree is showing you the method. And when you learn that through your receptivity to the infinite consciousness that comes through the eye of your being, you can show forth 7,000 varieties of supply, then you will appreciate the meaning of the word meek. You were declaring lack. And yet if you had been meek, you would have inherited the earth. The earth can be inherited, and here we are declaring lack. In our lack, we are merely declaring that I do not accept God as individual being. I have not found that intelligence or that understanding or that ability to trust the infinite divine to know how to run its universe where I am concerned. And who is at fault? We are in a false consciousness. We are not in the tree of life. We are not letting its infinite sap run through us out into form. Instead, we are trying to get the forms without life to substantiate those forms and to give them continuity and purpose and fulfillment. In his presence, in the presence of the Father, in the presence of Spirit, in the realization of divine consciousness, as your consciousness is fulfillment. If you lack, you are declaring that I am not in the presence of the Father. So then, let these lacks be your signal. Let your ear perk up when somehow the wrong supply is there and something that you want desperately is missing. Remember, it is only missing in your false consciousness. It is not missing in the divine consciousness. The divine consciousness is complete, infinite, unlimited. And that divine consciousness, being omnipresent, is right where you are. You have been fooled by the limitation of your five senses into the inability to cognize divine supply right where you are. You weren't asked to figure out how God does it. You aren't asked to sit down and let's see now, how does God appear as my rent, as my new client, as my new employer, as my new employee? How does God appear as my trip to the Orient? How does he do it? I want to know. No, you were told instead your Father knoweth your needs, and it is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Blessed are the meek. And so you learn your meekness is simply the acceptance that your Father knoweth, the divine consciousness which knoweth is omnipresent, is the eye of your own being, is the kingdom of God within you. And as you touch this kingdom of God within you by meekness unto it, if a trip in the Orient is coming for you, fine. If a change in jobs is coming for you, fine. If new contracts are coming for you, fine. If new relationships are coming for you, fine. Suppose you received a certain contract and were elated, but you got it out of your own human ingenuity. I've had a few of those. And then later you discovered it wasn't going to be a productive contract at all. So-and-so was going to fold long before you got paid. So-and-so was going to change their plans in midstream. Certain properties would be sold. All unforeseen events. But at the time that you got the contract, you hit the sky with joy. And over here was another contract waiting for you, not quite as important. And yet, if you had listened, this was the one. It would have had fruition. It would have built your reputation. Your supply would have been built by certain other things than dollars. And so we begin to see that we must not limit ourselves to our finite human intelligence ever. There is an infinite intelligence which is seeing beyond the momentary contract or client, beyond the momentary dollar. It is expressing itself as you. And therefore, in its expression of divinity as you, it is always doing the right thing at the right time. And there is no such thing as adversity. You can smile while the world frowns and say, but the divine consciousness of my being knoweth my needs. I know the secret of the Bible. It isn't promising anything. It's stating a fact. The Lord is my shepherd. The divine consciousness within my own being, which is I, is leading me. I shall not want. It is a fact. It isn't a conjecture or tomorrow's promise. It is now. Always now. It maketh me lie down in green pastures. And that can translate into 7,000 different needs you might have. It leadeth me beside the still waters, where the mind is at peace. It restoreth my soul. It's doing that now. It's always doing that. And so let us get back to center, to I. I in the midst of you am the divine consciousness. I in the midst of you am the tree of life. I am not the tree of good and evil. That's your finite human mindset. I am always sending forth into expression as spiritual form those things you need. Or if you could just see your automobile spiritually, you would see it's my idea in the midst of you. If you could see your home spiritually, you'd see it's my idea in the midst of you. If you could see the things you possess, you would know that they are my spiritual ideas made manifest to your finite mind as things now. Don't try to possess them. Don't hold on to them. There are millions more and better ones as your needs change. You have no possessions. I in the midst of thee am all there is of you. I am the infinite self of all beings. When you learn to trust me, then in quietness and confidence you will find a new strength, a new energy, a new life, a new supply. you will discover the secret of the why, that I can never leave the perspective. Before you ask, I answered billions of years ago. And tomorrow I will still be here being the divine consciousness. While you sleep, I will be the divine consciousness. If you depart for 10,000 years and return, I will still be here as the divine consciousness. And if you go, I will be there. Wherever you are in the ocean of divine consciousness, and you touch it in your individual consciousness, and then the word of infinity transforms itself outwardly, because it is the fabric, it can make its own form. Now we have, and we cannot say I have not. We cannot divorce ourselves from ourselves. This is the miracle of supply, then. And if you want the greater miracle of supply, you might have to find it in another way. If you go above your human consciousness now, you might try this with your eyes closed. If you go above your human consciousness and realize your spiritual identity, then you know that as spirit, which is indivisible from self, you are one with all spirit. You are that infinite spirit itself, which is active where you happen to appear physically, and all of it is you. And then you see that the spirit, which is your being, which is I, infinite I, enables you to reach that consciousness where you discover and can really know that you are supply. You never seek supply in reality, you claim it. You never reach out for it, for you are supply. Your spirit, your being is supply. I am supply. And because I am supply, I can see 5,000. I am the supply of love. I am the supply of liberty. I am the supply of safety. I am the supply of intelligence. I am the supply of protection, of health, of harmony, of purity, of integrity, of justice. All that supply is in its multiforms, I, spirit, am. I need not seek supply. I am supply. And as this becomes your realization, you rest in your own I. You are now in the single I. You're out of the divided consciousness. You are the tree of life. You're in the one infinite consciousness, undivided from itself, and that is the tree of life. That is the Garden of Eden. You find you've been walking in the Garden of Eden unknowingly. And there is plenteous supply in this Garden of Eden. Unlimited. But we are one now, not two. I and the Father, I and divine consciousness are not two. We are one. And in that oneness, I am all supply. And all of its seasons are never barren, as in the human world. Now I am harvesting supply. I am a righteous worker. I am harvesting my own seed. It is not 4 months for my supply. The harvest is now. Right now in my oneness with self. And in due time, I can be sure whatever is needed must appear. It is the law of supply in operation. The infinite intelligence will appear as the need fulfilled and that is the Lord. God self-revealing as individual being. We have the miracle of supply in our very being. We never need seek it in the world. And now we have another miracle. Because these are not our possessions, but is infinite self-expressing. I can share infinity with anyone, as long as I do not try to channel it, but let it direct its own path through my enlightened consciousness. Your sharing is spiritual. It may appear physically, but it is the spiritual understanding moving through you, directing you to those benedictions where only spirit is expressing to meet another need of another one somewhere else. You become an instrument for sharing. Not a receiver, but a giver. And if you receive, it will be in the same way. Spirit, through another, or through many others, will be sharing with you. Now you know that supply is the greatest problem of this world. Because of it, we fight wars. Because of it, nation turns against nation, individual against individual. But as you learn, the law of supply is ever present in the invisible. And bring this forth into fruition through your meekness to the eye of your being, you will be taking a long step for this world for the teaching of the nature of supply. And when man finds the nature of supply, there will be less fear, less distrust, more peace, and eventually a rest in the knowledge that supply being infinite everywhere, no one and no nation has anything that another one or another nation needs except as the Spirit so directs. Rest in the omnipotence of your Spirit, in the omniscience of your Spirit, in the omnipresence of your Spirit, and you're in the law of supply. In all things, my grace is thy sufficiency. Nothing is missing, nothing is withheld. All has been completed. The full, total kingdom of supply is within you. Draw it out by your silence to that brain which insists that you are lacking. Be meek unto the Father within. Listen, trust, and behold, you will inherit the earth. In the invisible, but here, right here, is the Father's kingdom. Not in the visible world of matter, but my kingdom of supply is not of this world. And yet I am present, my fullness is present, in my presence you have fulfillment. Look for your supply never in the visible. Supply is not of this world. Supply in the visible is the illusion. Look for your supply in my kingdom, in the invisible, and you will find your visible supply will take form. Just as the fruits on the tree were first invisible, so will my supply in you become visible manifestation if you turn not to the world, but to the one invisible source and rest in me. For I in the midst of you am all supply. There's more to be said about supply. And so we'll have another look at it in a few moments. If we can, let's hold this silence for another minute or two. We are still in the one life, the one divine self. We are each including ourselves to be that one divine self expressing. And if we feel that conviction, we can release all personal sense, all personal doubts, all personal cautions. For I am the one divine self expressing. Infinite mind is living my life.